This is the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast.
We had gone to a conference, and in this conference, it was referenced that like you need to let everyone in your space know that you are in real estate investing, because like that's where introductions and doors will open, right? Like nobody can help you if nobody knows. And at first, that makes a lot of people nervous, like, oh, people from my job will see, like, how will this go? And I was like, well, I'm about to just potentially unfriend everybody from where I work right now, and we're just going to go for the best.
You're listening to the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast, where we discuss tangible tips, tricks, and best practices for becoming financially free. The show is designed for people who want to either start real estate investing or for those who want to scale their real estate business.
This episode is sponsored by Infinite Road Destinations, the smartest short-term rental property management group I know, and the group that manages my properties. This is a company that's very close to my heart, run by two of the smartest, most attentive people I know, Claire Rosenberg and Alex Brashears. Claire and I first met when we worked together at NetApp, where she was a top performer and rose crazy fast in the company. And Alex is just one of the most active, genuine people I know in the real estate space. The two of them together bring a blended background of project management, software design, and extensive experience with automation tools and virtual assistants. Through these experiences, they optimize any property to deliver a hands-off experience to owners while delivering the highest occupancy and highest daily rates possible. You guys know I would not recommend anything to anyone in this group that I do not fully endorse or think that is the absolute best product, and this company is that. And like I said before, this is the exact company and people that manage my Airbnbs. If you don't believe me, here are a few of the other tools and services that come along with the team. Listing optimization, guest support and approval, communication and reservations, key exchange and management, dynamic pricing, welcome kit creation, listing advertising and marketing, vendor management, including cleaners, maintenance, handymen, runners, and monthly property reports. To learn more, check out shorttermmadeeasy.com or email info@shorttermmadeeasy.com. And on the form, just mention that you heard it here or mention my name. So give it a try. You have nothing to lose, and they offer a satisfaction guarantee. And I assure you guys, you will not be disappointed.
Hey guys, Jonathan Farber here. Just kidding. It's Claire Rosenberg. We're switching it up a little bit. We're looking to have more women on the show, and we thought it would be a fun way to have a little variety. I'll be hosting our Women Wednesdays episode going forward, hashtag Women Wednesdays. Basically, we're going to be bringing on incredible women to share their real estate story. And today we had our first guest, Susie Sevier. Love that last name. And she's from the UK, and she is, a long distance real estate investor. They have 88 units, in Tulsa, and then under contract for 100 units as well. And her background is in accounting, and she's a program manager. So she balances her W-2 with real estate investing, W-2 in the night, and then real estate investing, or sorry, W-2 in the day, and then real estate investing in the night. The main learning that I had from this episode is tell everyone that you know that you're in real estate. It's incredible. The connections and the opportunities and the relationships that you're able to form through real estate. And Susie has a really great story of how they got their first deal. And it was all through letting people know, hey, I'm in real estate. So next time you're with someone, say, hey, my name is so-and-so and I'm interested in real estate. So people know, and there'll be great opportunities to form from there. All right, let's give it up for Susie Sevier. Excited for you guys to listen to this one. All right, let's kick this off. So Susie Sevier, welcome to Women Wednesdays. Super, super excited to have you. And this is our first Women Wednesdays segment. So I'm gonna give a little round of applause here. Very excited that you are on today. And how's everything going? What's going on with you today?
Everything is great over here in the UK. The sun is shining. There is no rain. So all is good. And I do want to say thank you so much for having me on. I'm very, very excited. So I really appreciate it, Claire.
Of course. Super excited to have you. And I did read about that, like in the UK, it rains like most of the year, right?
It rains a lot. Okay. So like I'm in Cambridge, and in Cambridge, we're actually known to have like the least amount of rain in the country, which is nice. So doesn't like in the summer, it's nice, right? But in the fall, winter and spring, it is raining. But to add to that, everything is really, really green and really, really pretty. So like that is the upside of like all of the flowers and all of the cool trees. Cause you know, there's like tulips and then there's cherry blossoms. And then like every morning I wake up to birds and I'm like, you know, if I had none of this greenery, I would just have dirt and dryness and dust anyway. So we're just going to love the rain. And so now I have embraced loving all of the rain.
Let's love the rain. I love it. No, it's amazing. I went to, when I studied abroad in college, I went to London for a week and it was probably one of my favorite experiences. And I will say I took the black cab by accident. So for all those people, the black cab is a tourist trap. I think I paid like $200 in US dollars. So definitely learned my lesson there, but super, super cool. So Susie, let's get into this a little bit. So our listeners, I'd love to just from a high level, dive into, you know, how you got started into real estate and just where you are today, just to give our listeners a high level of your background.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got into real estate actually because of COVID-19 and all of the lockdowns. So when the first one happened over here, we didn't know how long it was going to last, but it did last a little over 100 days. And we knew that they were going to continue to happen. Like that was just conversations that the government was having. And even for example, like right now, we're still in a lockdown. Like we're slowly now getting out of the third one. But to go back, like no one was working. Everybody was like pretty much sent home. And so like my partner and I, Michael, we were like, okay, well, what are we going to do? You know, like if we can't leave our house. And thankfully it was sunny for majority of the lockdown, so that was great. But we're like, okay, we're going to start a mini book club because we choose not to have a TV just like from the distraction that it brings. And so one of the books we read was Multiple Streams of Income. And in there, it talks about real estate investing. And so Michael had looked at me and said, we're going to try real estate investing. I was like, sweet. Well, now we got something to do. So like from that, we literally like dove in like podcasts, books, blog articles, any sort of forums that we could find, right? We were like, okay, real estate, real estate, real estate. And the first group that we found was Bigger Pockets. And of those who don't know, like Bigger Pockets really focuses on single family homes. And then like you work your way up. So we were going to go that route. We had set up a team and everything in the Midwest, but then like a risk happened that we did not think of. And that was an inland hurricane. And so with that, Michael and I couldn't get financing for the two properties that we had under contract because they needed contractor bids and the contractors were busy rebuilding the city, which is totally fine and totally understandable. But then we looked at each other and we're like, okay, well, our five-year goal was multifamily. So why don't we just go into that now? So then we pivoted, right? Because that's what you have to do. I mean, it's a whole different world of meetups and education, like completely different, really. And we then started going to a ton of meetups and a ton of conferences that just focused on multifamily. And then to like fast forward a little bit, right? We then as of like two-ish months ago, we actually closed on our first asset, which was an 88 unit in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah. And then we have our second property under contract as well. And that's a 100 unit. So we are very excited to now to be able to serve a total of 188 families total. So we're really happy about that.
Wow. Susie, what a story. What a story. I love that you brought up, okay, let's start the single family route. And, you know, if there was an issue with the contractors and all we do in life is we pivot. Something brings us down, we just keep going. So I love it that you just kept going. And the fact that you went from, you're like, okay, my five-year goal is to do multifamily, right? And you guys just went right into it. You skipped kind of like the stack model, right? So it's like starting with a single family, then going to a duplex and going to a quad. So that's crazy that you guys were like, okay, we have these two properties under contract, didn't work with financing, building a city out of our control, right? Mm-hmm. So crazy that you just went to that 88 and then now you're that 100 unit. So I love in the form you talked about extreme long distance real estate investing, right? So you have these, you have the 88 unit, right? So what are you guys doing for property management?
Yeah. So we believe that our property management was like sent from heaven. We do have a third party property management company. We really love in like a business sense, right? Like we really enjoy working with them. That's a better way to put it. Because like, as we were interviewing property management companies, like we really needed to like vibe with the people, and we really wanted a sense that they also wanted to find a way to serve the families like in the apartment complex as well, right? Because like when your families or residents are not happy, like disaster. And so they were actually like the fourth or fifth property management company that we had spoke to, and they were actually referred by someone to us. So that was like a grace that that happened. But what we really enjoy is that like, it's very collaborative, right? Like they come up with ideas. If we say something, they're like, you know, like in the past, this has worked better. And we love that because it's not just like, yes, you can get these rents. Yes, we don't have to do that many remodels. Yes, I'll help you do this. Yes, 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 yes. Like we didn't want yeses. We wanted a lot of collaboration. And so that's like really what made us choose our property management company.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's amazing. You got to have, like you said, collaboration was huge. We love referrals. And on this show, we really focus on being extremely tangible. John loves tangible, tangible, tangible. And we really want our listeners to utilize this show and start taking action. So when someone's looking for a property manager, what are, from this experience, what did you learn as like, what are your must-haves to make sure that it's going to work well?
Yeah. So I have two that kind of goes along with that one. So for finding properties in general, I would definitely engage with a property manager before you even submit an LOI. And I say that because you don't want to get into a situation where you find out your business plan does not work, like with 10 days left in due diligence, right? Like that's not the route you want to go. But then when picking a property management company, definitely interview a few. Yes. Like it might seem like this process where it's like, oh, I don't want to interview, you know, four or five, but doing that and then asking like specific questions, right? And not yes, no, like, oh, this is what we are thinking about doing. Like, what is your opinion on this? Is this happening in the area? Because then they can't get pigeonholed into just saying yes to you, you know, or just saying no to you. And that's really how you create collaboration, because like we want them on our team, right? And we know that they want more business, but like if we don't have the right people on our team, then the business plan is not going to go well. So really take that extra time to interview multiple property managers and then ask those questions where it cannot be yes or no. Like they have to go deep with you.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I think sometimes people are like, I don't want to put the work into this. I don't know what to ask. And I love how you're like, we're not going to pigeonhole them. We want to see kind of interviewing for like a W-2 job, right? It's that behavioral question. Like, what would you do in this situation? I want to try to understand, if I hire you, how would you act? Right? Because it's just great if people are saying nice, pretty words, but this is the closest way for us to understand, okay, how would you act? And then also, you know, you got it from a referral as well. So you kind of understand they trusted them. They're not going to recommend someone who's not going to be a right fit for you.
Absolutely.
And kind of going back, you know, this was a huge deal for you guys. So it's really helpful for our listeners to kind of understand, okay, Susie, how did we find this deal? How did we fund this deal? Right? Helpful if you can provide any sort of numbers for rent or how much you paid for the deal, however much you're comfortable with, but it's just always kind of helpful for our listeners to hear that story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So how we found the deal. So like this can be split into two paths, right? So like we knew that we had to create relationships with brokers. So that's what we did. And I understand it's like hard to do that over the phone or over Zoom, but really being creative about it. And like, so initially a cover letter was sent, and what was on this cover letter was all of the bios of everybody on the team. And then if we had mentors or advisors or like a KP, right? Because they bring a lot of experience, like making sure they're on there as well, who our lender was and who our property management company potentially could be. Because then it shows the brokers, like from being brand new, like, wow, they did put in the work. They don't want me to just send them a bunch of deals and then I'm not going to hear from them again, right? And then second thing is that going to the brokers, we had a very specific criteria, and how we like figured out our criteria was asking everybody on the team, like, okay, how much money do you think you can bring, right? Because we did do a syndication. So we didn't want to be in a position where we did a raise and we were like, we can't sleep for 5 weeks now, or five is a long time. We can't sleep for 3 weeks now because we just did the webinar and we have to close and nobody did a soft commit, right? Like, that is by far the worst feeling in the world. So like, asking everybody on your team, how much do you think you can raise? How confident are you about it? And why do you think you can raise that number, right? Because so many people just give a number like, oh, 500K. Well, how do you think you can bring 500K? Have you talked to 10 people and they all said that they can bring 50K? Like, did you make it clear what the minimum was? You know, are you talking to them about their grandma's birthday? Like, it's just a huge variety of all of that. So like for this particular deal, we had to raise $1.75 million. And what we had all thought, because there were like, if you include my, like Michael and I is two, there were four of us like bringing money. So we were like, okay, if we can at least each bring 500K, then we should definitely be okay, you know? But so that's how we really chose the deal. And I say that because I have talked to some people who want huge deals, right? Because like right now in the space, it's like, oh, the number of doors I have, like that makes me who I am. But like you do really need to think like how much you could bring, because you never want to be in a situation where you commit to a number and then you cannot bring that amount. Like as a lead sponsor, as a co-sponsor, whatever, you just don't want to be in that situation.
100%. And I think you wanted to protect yourself, right? You don't want to go into a situation where you're doing all of this work and then you can't deliver. So I commend you for that, because a lot of people are like, oh, everything's going to be fine. They did a soft commit. It's going to be okay. But you're like, no, this is serious. And I think it's really cool, the cover letter too. I haven't heard that too much, but it's always about, we don't want to waste a broker's time. We want to show that we're serious and bring that credibility. So I think that only showed that you guys were ready to rock, I would say, with this deal. And interesting, with Tulsa, had you ever been there before? How did you pick that market?
Yeah, that's a great question. So because we live here, we knew that like our missing piece was a boots on the ground, right? Like that was our missing piece. And so we had created a criteria of like what we were looking for with our deals, right? Like we wanted them stabilized. We wanted at least 50% of the return coming from cash flow. And then we wanted it cash flowing from day one. So like that helps narrow, right? And that narrows in the sense that like, these are the markets that deliver that, but this is also like the price range per door that helps figure that out as well. Mm-hmm. And we had gone to a conference, and in this conference, it was referenced that like, you need to let everyone in your space know that you are in real estate investing, because like, that's where introductions and doors will open, right? Like nobody can help you if nobody knows. And at first that makes a lot of people nervous, like, oh, people from my job will see, like, how will this go? And I was like, well, I'm about to just potentially unfriend everybody from where I work right now, and we're just going to go for the best. So we posted about it, and one of Michael's like former classmates from the academy actually reached out and was like, hey, like we should chat. I want to get into this. And he lives in Oklahoma City. And initially we were going to try to go with Oklahoma City. And then once we found out about Tulsa, like the numbers just worked way better. And then to even add to that, so then we're saying, okay, we're in Oklahoma City, we're in Tulsa, right? So then somebody one day was like, hey, I know somebody who's also investing in Tulsa, and I think he is a great person for you two to meet. And we were like, cool, cool. So we met him, and his name was Carl, and Carl then became our mentor. So like, that was the coolest part, because Carl knows the area so well that like any questions that we had during the webinar, they could be answered very quickly, just because he gave us so much knowledge about Tulsa. So like, for example, we joined like all of the city's updates, you know, we get them through email, we listen to the podcast. So like, he gave us all those tips on to be like, okay, if people ask you these questions, like, here's all the information, how you'll find it. And like, that really helped as well. So that's how we chose Tulsa, by the boots on the ground, mm-hmm. and then by the mentor coming and like putting all the puzzle pieces together.
It's so incredible. There's so much goodness into that story. And I love that you brought up that everyone needs to know that you're in real estate, because if you don't tell them, no one would ever know. And you brought up, oh, are people gonna say something? I'm still working. Is this gonna mess things up? But there are so many doors that can open up. Like you said, it's incredible. It's almost like, hi, my name's Susie, I do real estate. It's like, it just needs to be like ingrained, you know, like, mm-hmm. this is who I am, this is what I'm looking for. And like, that's how you were able to get this incredible, you know, the boots on the ground. So important to have an essential team. It's the lifeblood, especially with extreme long distance investing. Yeah. And with Carl, to have a mentor who has all of this valuable knowledge and to equip you up for success. And my brother's name is Carl, so that's super special too. You don't yeah. need a lot of Carls. Is it Carl with a C or with a K?
With a C.
Okay. Got it. So yes, I think you guys have really built that essential team, and you put yourself out there and you weren't afraid and you just kind of went for it. And I want to kind of go back to, how you're kind of juggling. Are you still, you're still working at your W-2 job and you're investing in real estate, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So, how are you balancing that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the greatest part about living over here is that we are like 8 to 5 hours ahead of everyone. So like, I can have my W-2 time, and then like, even right now, right? Like, I'm almost done with my work day, but everybody in the States is just getting started. So it's like, cool. Mm-hmm. We still have the night to do some stuff. And then we also have the morning if we choose, because we have a morning routine. And depending on the day, like, we'll switch it up, just because like, for me personally, like, my green zone is in the morning. So if there are very important things that need to get done in real estate, then I'm going to work on them in the morning. But so it's actually been really, I don't want to say easy to juggle, because that's, I don't know, easy is not the word I want to use, but like, with lockdown, right? Like, we also can't leave the house. So it's like real estate or work. And like, in there, yes, we do read, we do exercise, like, we still cook like really nice meals, but that's just like what we chose to do. So it's actually been easier to navigate because of that. The only thing that I really miss out on, which I think is a bummer, is there are like networking events at night that I cannot go to. Well, I shouldn't say I can't go to, I choose not to go to, because it's like 2, 1, 3 in the morning. And that is just like really rough on the next day. I've definitely tried. And the next day I am like a zombie, and I'm like, oh, well, that wasn't worth it. Cause something that should have taken me a half hour is now going to take me 2, cause I'm so tired. So.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, that's a great way to look at it. I think, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to do my job during the day, I'm going to do real estate stuff for the night. I have to wonder, how are you, like, the whole work-life balance, right? So do you have time? Do you make sure that you have dedicated time to turn everything off and you guys can just focus on your you time?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And I've thought about this. So like, with real estate investing, I do not see it as a job anymore, because it is a vehicle that will fuel my future, like, passion and vision. And because of that, like I personally cannot like stop because like for the background story, so Michael can retire from the military in 7 years. So like we want to be able to be as active as we can now so that when that day comes, it is like we have freedom from a W-2, right? And so right now, if I were to have like me time, which I still think though is done like through cooking and reading and exercising, right? Because like I do get really creative in the cooking space. And so that is definitely like an outlet. But other than those three things, like I think to myself, if Michael has to consider working even for one day after he can retire, like that will hurt me more than like the so-called lack of me time now. So That's really how it's all gone together. Like, cause once it's no longer about like yourself, like the fuel is just so much different. Right. And even like a huge thing is that now I have to make sure that the families or the residents are okay and that everything is taken care of. Like, I also have to make sure that my limited partner's money, like nothing happens to that. And so even having those two things connected to it, like for me, there is no turnoff because like these people have trusted me so much that I need to be able to like do what I said I was going to do. Right. And yes, there are like ebbs and flows. So there are some days where it seems like there is a lot, but then there are some days where it seems like there is not a lot. And that's where I can like have that creative outlet with like cooking or something. But I just don't want people to have to worry about something like housing, you know, like as a basic need. So right there, like that's really what fuels me to be like, okay, like that is my me time. My me time is like creating that shelter for somebody else and making sure that shelter is like a comfortable and safe place.
Right. No, I think it's so interesting because in the sense that people are always like, oh, you're spending so much time on your W-2 and on real estate stuff. But like you said, there's a greater purpose to it. And like, and you forget that it's a job because of the end goal, right? And we think, okay, maybe we're sacrificing, you know, time with our friends or with our family, or maybe we want to do a certain thing and you know, we're choosing to focus on this. But like you said, in 7 years, you and Michael, you want to be completely free and whatever that means for you. I am kind of curious, you know, it's 7 years down the line and what are you and Michael doing? What's the ideal lifestyle for you guys?
Yeah. That's a great question. Thanks for asking. So like ideal lifestyle is to technically like not have a home base, but be able to like travel all over the world. But while we are traveling all over, like I want to go to the communities that like need impact the most, right? Like I want to go and build those schools. If I have to go like build a waterway, I mean, that sounds pretty intense, but let's think like,
right,
if it's a bunch of us doing it together, then that's totally cool. You know, like helping people get basic needs. Like I want to go into the depths of these countries and help do that, you know, and along the way, yes, I do want to explore like all of the beautiful places as well, where like that isn't needed, but this world is just like so big and there's so much to offer. And because there's so much to offer, the learning never ends. And like, that's great, you know? And like during this journey, a big thing too, is that like, if Michael and I decide to have children, then they can potentially experience this as well, but they will have us around, you know, like a lot of my friends who have kids, I mean, and you just hear this in the space, right? Like nobody ever says like, I've had too much time with my children. You know, everybody is like, I want more time with my kids. I want more time with my kids. And I want to be able to provide that. And even like, then if we do create a home base, there's like a lot of visions, like how it'll all flow. But right. Like, I literally,
it's like a flow chart.
Yeah. Like at the end, if we come to a point where like, okay, our child needs to like have stability, like be at the same school for 4 years, it's totally fine. Like, I literally want to make a little mini book club on the block, like with all of the kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I think to even just bring it all together, right? Cause like I've done a lot of volunteering with kids, like through Big Brothers Big Sisters and Girls on the Run. And the children who have difficulty with reading, like have their self-confidence level is lower. And like, reading is something that if I love it so much and I don't mind like helping other kids with that, then a mini book club is just the way to go, right? Like, I want kids to interact through like that experience, because there's obviously so many books out there, but like, you can get so creative, right? Like, kids can start reading. It doesn't have to be like this boring textbook, right? Like, they can talk about, you know, the future and all of the crazy zombies. They can read whatever they want, but like, having a space where they all feel confident doing together, I think would just be like amazing. So really what I want to do is just help all of the children in the world. It's like, aww, no matter where they're at.
Susie's going to help all the children, and so genuine, and it's all about serving others, you know? So like you said, it's so simple to help others, but so many people just put it to the wayside, but you want to dedicate your time to help others, which I think is so generous, comes from the heart. And I think that you guys are going to do incredible things. I'm going to see you all over the news of all the schools that you're building, all of the kids that you're helping, Susie's book club. What's going to be the name of this book club?
Oh, I don't know. But so since our theme is like adventurous real estate investors, it's going to be something with adventure, right? Like, it has to at this point. But like, even to add on to that, like, we were all born to make an impact. So like, I, like, in my journey to even help somebody be like 0.5% better or 1% better, like, they can then move forward and do that for somebody else. Like, I just want to help start those ripples so that there can be like, just like this amazing effect that happens, right? Because like, the return on impact is something that people don't talk about, but like, there are almost 8 billion people on the world, right? If everybody just did 1% for somebody else, like, that impact would then be like astronomical. It'd be huge. And that's all that I really want to do. So, I mean, even throughout my whole entire journey, even if I just impact one child, like, it'll still all be worth it, right? Because we all just need like one little push in order to give then somebody else one little push, you know? Like, I just want that momentum to continue.
100%. And I think you're continuing to do that, and it comes from the heart. And like you said, we're all here to make an impact, and it's that domino effect. If we all just kind of put in the work, you know, we'll continue to help others. So as we're kind of winding down here, we'll kind of do like a little rapid fire as we're winding down. So I'm just going to ask you a couple quick questions here, and then we'll close it out.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there. I don't even know what time is it by you?
It is 3 p.m.
Oh, okay. All right. So I was like, it's not. All right. So Susie, what are your favorite books to read?
Ooh. So I don't know if I have, so I can say a favorite book I have read, but then I can expand. It's like, my favorite book I think I've read, or like, that was really eye-opening, was The Book of Joy and The Slight Edge. So in The Slight Edge, actually, it talks about being 1% better every day and how that helps you, right, become a better person. But in The Book of Joy, like, it just really goes deep on like thinking about our thoughts every day, you know, like turning those negative thoughts into something positive, or like reflecting on how you are creating an experience within yourself. And those two, I think, are some of my favorites, but even just books that I like to read. So I always have like two going on at the same time. And one would just be like a real estate book, or like a book about economy, or even right now I'm reading Clients for Life. And that's just about like being an advisor instead of being an expert. But then on top of that, I'm reading a book called Super Coach, you know, and that's just like how to be a better you, like very self development. And so those are my favorite books to read.
Yeah. I love, it's very common. I'm hearing that like people are reading like two different types of books in their day to kind of have that like little break, I would say. So very common there. I see you as like are you a big like journal person, like reflecting on your day? I can kind of sense that, you know. And I am curious, kind of going off question here, what is your morning routine? I know you said that you mentioned that early on, so I'm curious about what you do.
Yeah. So wake up around 5 and then we read for like a half hour. Once we're done reading, we journal. Then once journaling is done, we go into meditation. And then once meditation is over, we go straight into workout. And then from workout, it's like breakfast while listening to a podcast and then taking a shower and then getting ready for the workday, which it's really nice because like my walk to work is a good like 10 seconds up the stairs. So just work out. Yeah, it wow. works out really well.
And how long is this morning routine?
Yeah, so it's about 3.5-ish to like 4 hours. So total, okay. That's what we do in the morning space.
All right. So about 5 to 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay. And who's cooking breakfast? What are we eating?
Ooh, that's a good one. So like there's definitely meal prep that happens at the beginning of the week. People are going to think that breakfast is like really different, but that's okay. So
fun.
Like something that I've made a point to do is to like eat a salad every single day. Like I just want like raw leafy greens. And so breakfast is the salad. So on our breakfast or on our salad is then it'll be like beans, potatoes, peppers, and onions. So like fun fact, because I don't know how many people know this about me. So like I'm vegan just because like I just my body feels better when I eat more fruits and vegetables, and that's totally fine. And yes, I definitely get enough protein. But so like that is what it is. It's like a salad with peppers and onions and beans and potatoes.
All right. Well, I've never heard that before. Is there dressing at least a little lemon on top?
Oh,
or just
so
completely
salsa.
Plain?
We have okay. salsa.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm like obsessed with cheese, so I don't know how we can be friends, but
no, fun fact. Another fun fact. So one of my goals for the year is to make vegan blue cheese. So I've actually made a lot of vegan cheese and it's cool. So like cashews have become like my best friend. But now I want to go like a step further and try to make like that aged, really fermented, moldy cheese. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, you let me know. Keep me posted on that. It's very funny. Because you said you like to cook. So that makes sense. Yeah. And then who are the people that you like to follow? Any tools that you like to use, project management tools to be the most efficient?
Yeah, that's a great question. So people that I follow. So I definitely like in the space, I definitely follow like Hunter Thompson. He's just somebody that I like really look up to into real estate. I mean, yeah, I just enjoy a lot of the content that he puts out. But then other than him, like the list could go on, right? I could keep going. Like Brian Briscoe is a huge one, like Emma Powell, you know, Camilla Jeffs, like I could just go, and they all like range in where they are in their journey. And that's why I follow like a whole variety of people, because like we all started at the same place at one time. And so to see people at like all the different levels and all the different steps is like something that I try to do, right? I want to try to stay like as diverse as possible, because that's just how I'll learn more. But then in regards mm-hmm. to project management tools, like I actually use Asana a lot just to like create tasks. Like, so for example, we're getting ready to launch a podcast, but like every episode has like its own home right now, right? It's like pre-work and inside pre-work. It's like, did you send the application? Did you send the Calendly link? Did they send a headshot? And the next is like to record, to edit, to publish. And like everything can just be moved. But then even like outside of a project management tool, something that I definitely implement is time blocking. And I do that because I didn't think I was wasting a lot of space in my day. And then when you actually time block and you're like, oh, this has an allotted time. I can't just like eat snacks and look at my phone for a half hour, right? Because like
I just want to eat chips all day, right?
Right. I'm like, that could definitely happened. And so time blocking has definitely helped me. And I even started it all because I tried this. How can I word this? So like, even right now, I did it this week, but I did it a couple months ago where like, I literally track what I'm doing every 15 minutes. And like just in the mastermind that I'm in, that was something that we were asked to do. And it's crazy when you track what you're doing every 15 minutes, like the first day I was really good. Cause I was like, sweet. I know what I'm doing. I got this. The second day I was like, you know what? Like the last 15 minutes. And then the 15 minutes before that, again, this is going to go back to snacks, but I was like, cool. I've been like eating snacks and now I'm really aware of it. You know, like I don't need to eat snacks for this long. I can just eat a snack in 5 or 10 minutes and then move on to the next. But so like really doing that honest, like time audit with myself then made me realize how much more important time blocking is. And then a tip or a how, you know, making everything real, like pertain to itself with time blocking, make sure that you give yourself enough time. Cause like there were days where I'm like, oh, I'll write this blog article in 1 hour. And then, you know, like 30 minutes in, I'm still researching. I'm like, okay, well, this is not going to be written in an hour. I need to like write this down better. You know, like if I don't know the topic, then I'll give myself an hour and a half or 2 hours. But the thing is that if you get it done early, I mean, it's a win. It's when you don't get it done and you think to yourself like, oh man, did I actually do anything today? It's just like that little shift that you give yourself. Like you're already giving yourself a high five at the end of the day and you don't even know it yet.
Wow. I can't imagine what an incredible learning experience tracking every 15 minutes. And like you said, I'm eating too many snacks there. So a lot of good learnings of yourself and like how you're making use of your time. Well, I know we're getting close to the end of our time here. How can people get a hold of you, Susie, if people want to reach out to you?
Yeah, no, that's great. So you can definitely go and check me out at our website. So it's adventurousrei.com. I'm also like all over LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. But then especially too, like Michael and I, for the listeners, I guess it can be any kind of listener, but for our first acquisition, like we methodically like went through all the emails and all of the paperwork and we wrote down, like we created this checklist, right, of everything that we thought that we need to do, like pre-LOI all the way through like disposition, essentially. And we made, it's like over 200 items and it's a checklist, but you can go get that at our website if you wish. And to get there, it's adventurousrei.com/checklist.
Perfect. Well, we'll make sure to link all of that in the show notes so they can get all the goodies that you have and connect with you. Susie, I want to thank you so much for being our first guest for Women Wednesdays. Hope you had fun. I had a lot of fun and I truly want to thank you so much for your time. I'm super excited to follow you and just see all the incredible things that you're doing. So thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. And thank you so much for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Hey, you millennial millionaire. Are you looking for help getting to the next level in real estate? Are you looking for accountability and strategy to achieve your goals? If so, Jonathan is now taking on one-on-one students and opening a few spots in his private mastermind. It's affordable and welcome to everyone. If you had any questions or think you may need a boost, send Jonathan a message on Facebook or email at johnjfarber@outlook.com.